tonight, as we look at the book of 2 Chronicles, I see a trait here in an individual that I am envious of. And I ask the Lord to help me with, and maybe you'll have the same thoughts this evening. But 2 Chronicles, as you're kind of making your way there, we're going to look at chapter 34. And if I could, just for a couple of minutes here, give you a little bit of the context before we look at a particular phrase of interest tonight. Now, as you're making your way there, understand this. We're entering a very difficult time in the history of God's people. The kingdom of Israel there, Judah, has long been divided, and the people have struggled to serve the Lord in singleness of mind, and they're struggling with idolatry, and they've been affected by the pagan nations around them. And because of that, and the fact that the Lord has beckoned them time and time again, God's judgment has been pronounced on His people, and it's really only a matter of time now before the Babylonian captivity would begin. But before all of that begins, the captivity, there is a bright spot here in 2 Chronicles that we're going to look at tonight. And it's right here in the middle of great iniquity on the part of God's people that we find an 8-year-old boy who is named to the throne. And that young king was King Josiah. And it's very clear as you read a couple of chapters before this and you kind of follow Josiah and the life that he lived, it's very clear that from an early age, he decided to break the norm when it came to some of these kings of Judah. And the kings before him were ungodly in many different facets, but he stands up and it's very clear that he doesn't want to be characterized as that mold, as being someone who did not follow the Lord. And so even at the young age of 8 years old, he sets himself to do right and to follow the Lord. And we're not necessarily going to look at that tonight, but we are going to notice a phrase here in chapter 34. Now, the beginning of chapter 34 is the description of how Josiah begins to follow the Lord. He does several things. He, first of all, begins to target the altars that are in Judah, and he begins to clean all of that up. Then he goes and he tries to clean up even some of the surrounding areas because he knows that the outskirts there are being a hindrance to Judah, and so he does that. Well, then he kind of switches gears a little bit later on in his reign, and he notices that the house of God has been boarded up. It's not being used as it should be. And so he goes in and sets a crew in and says, hey, let's get this back to where it needs to be. We need to get our worship back to worshiping the God Jehovah. And so he sends the crew in, and while they're cleaning things up and getting things organized, a man by the name of Hilkiah, who was a priest, finds something that is of extreme importance. But they're not quite sure of it at first. In fact, Hilkiah finds what we understand to be the law of the Lord that was given to Moses. And so he finds this book and he looks at it and he says, oh, this is something that is of great importance. We need to take it to the king. So he gives it to a servant. The servant then runs it on into the presence of the king. And we notice here a couple of things about the king's response. Look at here at verse 19 of chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. Notice what it says here. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Now look at verse 27. The king there has heard the words of the law. And he is now through someone else goes and says, I want to hear from the Lord. What is his attitude towards us? And this is what the Lord says to him in verse 27. He says this, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardst the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep for me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. I want to draw our attention on just a small phrase at the beginning of verse 27 there, because thine heart was tender. I want to speak to you tonight about this thought of having a tender heart. I believe we can see three things that was said of Josiah in this passage that enabled him to have what God said of him, a tender heart. But before we get into the preaching of his word, let's ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, when we open your word tonight, we understand that, oh Lord, these are not man's words. Lord, these are not, Lord, empty words by any stretch. But Father, this is your powerful word. And Lord, because of that, we approach it, Lord, with, Lord, just understanding that it is of high value. And Lord, because of that, we pray that you would, Lord, help us to concentrate on what it's telling us. Lord, I pray that you would show us how we, like Josiah, can have a tender heart. We love you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Notice with me, first of all, if you're taking notes, we see if we're going to have a tender heart, like was said of Josiah, we need to have an exposure to God's word. We need to have an exposure to God's word. Notice verse 18 here. All right. And this makes all of the difference in what is going on at this time in Josiah's life. Look at it here. It says, then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Exposure to the word of God. Now, we're going to say a little bit about this some later in the point. But let me read you a couple of verses about our exposure to God's word and what can happen. Notice Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Exposure to the word of God. Have you ever tried to tenderize something before? Have you ever maybe been cooking or you know, I think about it, and obviously in terms of meat, you know, it's something I like. I like me a good steak every once in a while. But, you know, if you want a good steak, you got to do a little bit of work. Tenderizing is a process that for a while I didn't really understand. In fact, there are several ways that you can tenderize a piece of meat. One of those ways is to, you know, to pound it, right? That's one way to do it. And I remember seeing, as a kid, seeing this this object in our kitchen. They kind of sat with the spatulas in the holder there, and it had this weird thing on the top, and it looked almost like a medieval weapon or something, you know, a block and then spikes. And well, I just thought, you know, man, I hope I'd ever get a spanking with that thing. But I remember, you know, what is this thing even for? You know, but it's a tenderizer. You know, it's made specifically so that when you, you know, impact the meat, it tenderizes it. You know, another way that you can tenderize a piece of meat is by slow heat. Yeah, that's one way that you can do it as well. But understand this, you know, if we are going to have a tender heart, we have to be exposed to the word of God. And just as a heat or a hammer would impact the tenderness of a piece of meat, so does the word of God to you and me. And that's the first step to having a tender heart. Exposure to the warming fire of God's word. Now, understand this. This was the beginning point of things changing in Josiah's mind. And I noticed a couple of things. One of being, Josiah knew that these words that Hilkiah or Shaphan had brought to his attention, that they were special. Consider this. He sat here and he allowed these words to be read. Now, you know, let's take ourselves from, you know, modern day, you and I sitting in a living room and somebody running in with something. And let's take ourselves to a courtroom in which no doubt Josiah was sitting. Can you imagine as, you know, Hilkiah sends Shaphan into the room and Shaphan kind of runs into the presence of the king here, where we can assume he's doing his kingly duties upon his throne and sort of bringing everything to a halt. and maybe even abruptly entering, and maybe Josiah or maybe even some of the guards, you know, quickly moved in on Shaphan and said, "Whoa, you can't come in like this." And then a Shaphan began to say, "Hey, but I have a special book that the king needs to see." And so King Josiah now allows him to come into the presence and not even just tell him about the book, but then to actually read the book. And we're not told a timeline of how long this process went on, but we understand that this was an extended period of time because Shaphan begins to read and Josiah doesn't stop him for anything. He just continues right on. I believe Josiah knew that these words were in fact special. But these words were not just special in the sense that they were just special, but they affected his heart. Notice here of verse 19. Notice what he does. "And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes." He took action. These were powerful words. And you know what? We can identify with King Josiah tonight. You know, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted him as your Savior, no doubt there was a point in which God's word stuck in your heart to bring you to a point of salvation. And then even beyond that is you maybe have your quiet time with the Lord, or even we're in a place like this where the word of God goes out. There is something that is very powerful about these words. They're not man's words. They're God's words. And because of that, they're very powerful. And if you and I are going to have a tender heart, it's going to come, first of all, from an exposure from the warming power of God's word. That's where Josiah was. And these words were affecting him. How did Josiah have a tender heart? Number one, he was exposed to the warming power of God's word. So do you and I. But notice the second thing here that is mentioned in verse 27. Not only look at it, "because thine heart was tender," then it goes on, "and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest the words," that's the first thing we looked at, "against this place and against the inhabitants thereof." But number two, "and humblest thyself before me." So number two, if we want to have a tender heart, we need to not only, number one, expose ourselves to the word of God, but number two, exercise humility. He says here that Josiah, the king, humbleth himself before him. The idea here is to be bowed down. From a military standpoint, we could say that this is to reduce someone in rank, character, in stature. This is someone's complete self being submitted to someone or something. And that's the action that Josiah is taking here, an exercise of humility. Have you ever met somebody that was just an exercise addict before? You know, just somebody that is just, they love to exercise. They kind of thrive on that. There's somebody that I knew very much like this. And this was a few years back, and they just loved to exercise and to do all kinds of things like that. But there was one particular program that they were just thrilled about and wanted everybody to be a part of. And, you know, because they were doing it, and I don't know if they were instructor or something, they were certified in it. They'd been through it several times. But you could talk to this person about this particular exercise for just a long period of time. And so he kind of challenged me a little bit. He said, "You know, you could probably do this routine." I thought, you know, I don't know. I'm not, you know, usually I like some type of motivation, you know, if a ball is involved or something. I don't know, just to exercise, it really doesn't thrill my heart. And he challenged me. He said, "Well, why don't you do it?" I said, "Well, okay." He said, "But it's going to be tough." I said, "All right, I understand." And then he began to describe how tough. And for those of you who keep up with workout routines and that sort of thing, it was a workout program called Insanity. And may I say that it was just as it's called, insane. It really pushed me to the limits in many ways. But I said, "You know what? I can do this. You know, it's a 2-month program. It gets harder as you go on, but I got confidence. I'm going to stick with this." He said, "You know, people drop out." I said, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get in and I'm going to do it." And so I did. And our schedule was, you know, pretty rough. I had to be at work pretty early, and then we had things going on in the evening a lot of times. So the best time for me to do this routine was usually between 10 and 11 at night. And you know how we all feel that late. And so I said, "Well, I'm just going to do it." So for about 4 weeks, every day, I did this routine. And, you know, I felt like, boy, I've got more energy than I've ever had. I feel like I'm sleeping great at night and I'm halfway through the program. You know, I'm going to show this guy that I can do this. And, then I got sick. I got the flu. And, you know, I tried, I think, 2 days to do the workout while I was sick. But, you know, I got sicker. And I think I was down for maybe 2.5 weeks. I was just like, oh, I feel terrible. I worn myself out. And as a result of that, I didn't finish the program, you know. And he'd ask me, so you picked that back up? No, I haven't. Are you kidding me? I was just too tired and too out of shape to jump back into it. You say, what is that all about? Well, you know what? For me, that was an exercise of humility. I thought I could do it. I thought I could push through. But in fact, I was humbled and was unable to. You know, maybe that's a poor comparison tonight. But, you know, Josiah here is exercising great humility. Again, we can take ourselves back to the courtroom and we picture this king who sits high and elevated upon a throne, come to the point where he takes himself down, and after hearing the words, these powerful words, he literally bows himself before the Lord. I'd imagine there were people there probably looking and thinking, you know, what is he doing? But to see that he separated himself from that and begins to humble himself is a wonderful thing. Exposure to the Word of God is the beginning point of a tender heart. But the second thing that we see for Josiah is, in fact, that he exercised great humility in this. You know, just as the Word of God softens the heart, you know, so pride can harden our heart. It can have the direct opposite effect if we would allow it to come to the point where we raise ourselves above others and everything, and we begin to think too highly of ourselves, that begins to characterize us. And when we hear the Word of God or the Lord tugs on our heartstrings or whispers in our ears, maybe our direct thought is, you know, I'm okay. I don't have any issues. The Lord is calling us to humble ourselves and exercise humility as Josiah the king. Let me give you the third thing and we'll close tonight. The third thing here that was characterized of Josiah having a tender heart, you see it here in verse 27. Notice back with me, when thou hearest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I've even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Not only do we need to be exposed to the Word of God, not only should we exercise humility in our lives, but number three, and finally, we ought to express sorrow for sin. You know, there's no question tonight that Josiah was a broken individual after he heard the Word of God go forth. You know, he took modern day that he was living in, and even after, the thing that stands out to me is he was a good king. The Lord had already put his blessing on Josiah. Josiah understood biblical principles and what it meant to worship God. But here we have, you know, even living in that context of having the idols separated and maybe living having a more godly kingdom than they had in a long time. Even in that context, he took the Word of God and the standard, and he took his day and he lined it up, and he was broken because of it. And he looked at himself, no doubt he looked at Israel as a whole, and he expressed great sorrow over sin. Josiah was broken over all of this. The Bible says that he rent his clothes and he began to weep. You know, how serious do we take sin? I think that's a good question for us tonight. When we're talking about a tender heart, you know, if we want to have a tender heart, we're going to have to treat sin the way it is. It's a serious thing. It's an offense against God. You know, how do we treat not maybe just our personal sins, but maybe the sins of our nation? You know, the sin of other believers that we see, those who are walking a path that is away from the Lord. Do we take those things lightly. Maybe we even joke about those sins, but it ought not be so. Josiah here took the word of God, lined it up with his day and time, and he wept because of it. How do we look at sin? Josiah expressed great sorrow in his day. But you know what? Something interesting about all of this is when I see here that Josiah had a tender heart, and I see some of the reasons why he had a heart like he did, I notice something that is very, very neat. And we don't have the time to develop it tonight, but you can do it on your own. Maybe you've got some extra time to read the next couple of chapters. You know, it was because of Josiah's tender heart that the Lord stayed the judgment of his people until after Josiah's death. God looked down at King Josiah and said, you know what, because this man loves me and because he has such a tender heart, I'm going to let him see blessing the rest of his days. And I'm going to withhold my judgment, although I've promised it, until he dies. I believe the Lord wants us to have a tender heart. I believe he cares greatly about the condition of our heart. And I believe that each of us should strive to have a heart that is tender. How's your heart tonight? Is it tender? Have you exposed yourself to the warming fire of God's word? You exercising humility? You express sorrow over your sin? If you do, you're well on your way to having a tender heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for your word, as we've already said. And Lord, you know my heart. Lord, I desire very much to have a tender heart. There are things, Lord, that can harden our hearts so many times. But Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, latch on to these three things that was said of Josiah, Lord, that would impact our week. Lord, help us to focus on having a tender heart. Lord, so much to the point that, Father, when you speak to us, or when you tug on our heartstrings, or Lord, when you whisper in our ear about something, Lord, that we have the quietness and softness and tenderness about us, Lord, that we hear it and we act upon it quickly. Lord, help us to have hearts like King Josiah. We love you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.